Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
We start our show with breaking news. The Milwaukee Bucks have fired head coach Adrian Griffin, according to our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who is here alongside myself, Janae Agumake, Richard Jefferson. Griffin was hired in June, and in his 43 games as head coach, he went 30-13 in that time. So why is this happening now, Woj?
Yeah, I think this was an agonizing decision for this Milwaukee organization. They were very fond of Adrian Griffin. They gave him his first head coaching opportunity this offseason. But they looked at where this team was, how it was responding under Griffin. Although the second best record right now, you mentioned 30-13, that they have such a tight championship window with Giannis Antetokounmpo, certainly the Damian Lillard trade, you know, which happened after they hired Griffin as head coach. And they made a decision to make the change. They told Adrian Griffin of that just within the last hour, I'm told, that he's out. And this is a Milwaukee team that you have seen at every turn trying to maximize, again, this championship window. And they make a really difficult decision today to move on from Adrian Griffin. And I'm told now, you know, Joe Prunty is expected to be the interim coach. You've seen him as an interim coach previously in Milwaukee after Jason Kidd in Atlanta also. But they're going to start a search immediately for a new head coach. They want an accomplished veteran head coach who's available. And I'm told that Doc Rivers is among the very serious candidates that Milwaukee is going to look at here as they move forward.
Wow. So Joe Prunty takes over for the third time as interim head coach in his career. Adrian Griffin once again out as the Milwaukee Bucks head coach. And now a search commences. I have so many questions, Richard, but let's just start with your first blush response to this.
It's shocking. You know, we had the opportunity to interview Adrian Griffin at the start of the season. And just, you know, so many times coaches say, when you take over as a first-time head coach, you don't realize all the decisions that you are having to make. I was a part of a team in 2016 that let go of their coach, and T. Lou took over. But I think that situation was very different because you had an individual that had been there with that group for 2 years.
Right.
It wasn't a new voice. It wasn't a new system. So to bring in a Doc Rivers situation, to bring in anybody in there, it does add a difficulty. We saw it last year with Quinn Snyder coming in there in the middle of the season.
But Quinn also had time to assess, right?
Yeah.
His runway is very different. To me, I think it was shocking because what did we see last night? Giannis Antetokounmpo triple-double. They're coming off of a win. They have the second best record right now in the NBA. But the reality is we talk about this so much here on this program. If you want to be a championship team, you need to have a championship defense, at least in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the Milwaukee Bucks had a championship defense.
Right.
They were fourth in defense. This year, they're 22nd. And particularly in January, they've been 27th. I think that's just, no matter how much you love your coach, there are certain standards, especially when you have Giannis and you put all the chips in the middle of the table to get Dame Lillard. And a lot of people have been criticizing how they've looked. And I think that recipe was not necessarily for success for them in this highly pressured year one with that amazing duo.
The Bucks have won 5 of their last 6 games, but the last 4 just really have not been that convincing when you look at the ways in which they have won. I guess next my question is, Woj, what does this mean for Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Well, listen, you are always on the clock with players like Giannis Antetokounmpo, even when they sign an extension. And so I think, I don't think this was a Giannis decision.
Yeah.
I think this was, you know, Chiney mentioned the defense. This defense was not going to be the same defense if Mike Budenholzer was here, if Tom Thibodeau was here. They traded out Damian Lillard. They traded out Drew Holiday to bring in Damian Lillard. You are not going to guard the ball. You're not going to guard the perimeter in the same way that you did when you had Drew Holiday spearheading that defense. But they have given up a lot of points. They've been a team that, despite the record and winning, being on a streak, it hasn't, I think, to Milwaukee, felt right, looked right. And I think, again, this is an organization that, you know, took some risk hiring a young coach in the offseason. He was part of a pretty broad search. Mm-hmm. And I think Adrian Griffin's going to be a good head coach in the NBA. I think they feel that in Milwaukee also, that he is going to be a good head coach. This is a unique situation where it is win now, give ourselves as the Bucks the best possible chance to compete with the elite of the league. They didn't think they had that anymore with Adrian Griffin. And now they're going to go out in the marketplace, talk to some coaches. Again, I think Doc Rivers, you know, who was in Philadelphia the last 3 years, the Clippers before that, obviously won a championship with the Boston Celtics. He is somebody who has Milwaukee roots, played his college basketball at Marquette, is popular in that region, obviously grew up in Chicago. I think that's going to be a point of focus for the Bucks now as they start this search, which may wrap up pretty quickly.
And as you just saw at home, the Griffin had the best record by a head coach to get dismissed midseason since David Blatt in 2015-16.
Well, no, I just would like to echo the points that Woj made. Adrian Griffin is going to be a very good head coach in this league. I've had him as a player. I've played with him. I've been coached by him. I know that he knows what he is doing.
Yeah.
Was this the ideal situation, even with the endorsement from different players? This might not have been the best situation for a first-year head coach. But really, it's championship or bust, especially when you get an individual like Dame added to your roster. So that's where it became difficult. I don't think this is an indictment as much on Adrian Griffin's ability to coach.
Sure.
I think it was more of with this group, with their timetable, as a very young, new head coach.
Right.
That's what makes it difficult.
Let's talk a little bit more about this group, about the Milwaukee Bucks, as we say hello to our senior writer, Zach Lowe, and all of this. Zach, how do the Milwaukee Bucks fix this?
Well, look, this is a huge decision to take at this point in the season. And Woj can correct me if I'm wrong. He's up there. But I believe this hiring came down to Adrian Griffin, Nick Nurse, who's now in Philadelphia doing a great job, and Kenny Atkinson, who's still in Golden State. So the road's not taken for the Bucks are pretty interesting. But look, they do have a great record, but they've played the easiest schedule in the NBA by a wide margin. Their defense just has not been good enough. And that's not all on Adrian Griffin. That's a player thing and a personnel change thing as well. But you look at some of the stuff that's happened so far in the season. Terry Stotts left the job. He was brought there to be the lead assistant and kind of the veteran mentor. He said, something's wrong here. I don't like it. First 10 games of the season, they're playing a much more aggressive defense, and the players go to Adrian Griffin and say, hey, we've done it one way under Mike Budenholzer. Can we go back to that way? And Adrian Griffin listened to them. That's a good sign. Their transition defense has been a mess all season, and we've been on this show talking about why are we not seeing more Dame, Giannis pick and roll? And that's only the stuff that's on the surface. And all those guys up on the desk there nailed it. They just don't have time to wait for all of those issues to settle and everything to settle down. This team's got to win right now, and they're winning, but you know it when you see it. They've been winning, but not in the manner that suggests they can win three playoff series to get out of the East when two of them are going to have to come against probably Philly and Boston. So whoever gets this job, there's a great team in here somewhere, and they've got to find it immediately. But there's been smoke simmering almost since they hired Adrian Griffin. That's just the bottom line.
So Adrian Griffin out, but Damian Lillard's still there. Giannis Antetokounmpo's still there. Where do the Bucks go from here? How do they fix this defense?
Well, all I can think about is because I've been in a circumstance where our coach left, you know, midseason, and it does destabilize the locker room a little bit, but sometimes I think it can galvanize also because sometimes you just need a different voice in the room. And if they respond well to a different voice in the room, I think they're looking at the overall landscape and seeing how teams are improving. And how it felt like, you know, at the time when this trade was made, everyone was like, oh, wow, it's the Bucks world. And now we're seeing so many competitors to that. I think the focus has to be Giannis. I've seen Giannis over the past few months since the season started, he's had, you know, outputs of 64 points. He's had outputs of 54 points. He's also, like, tried to modify to suit this team. He had a game where he had 11 points and 16 assists not too long ago. They've been searching for some kind of fluidity. They've been searching for some type of continuity. I think finding that ability of a coach to say, like, all right, Giannis, this is exactly what we expect of you. Dame, this is exactly what we expect of you. I've seen the players try to do that in real time. That's why I'm trying to tell you those different ranges of things that we've seen from Giannis. So I think just stabilizing and also changing the voice hopefully will give them enough of a pointed effort to see if they can really capitalize on this year.
Like I mentioned earlier, when David Black got fired in Cleveland, he had been there for a year and change.
Yep.
T. Lou was the associate head coach. T. Lou had been there for an entire year and a half. So the terminology stayed the same. The play stayed the same. The way we played changed. He definitely motivated us, got going. If another coach comes in here, it's the terminology. There is a learning curve that is going to be a lot harder. If people want to try and compare it to the situation in 2016, that is very different than what any head coach is going to come in with a championship or bus quality
but
team.
But is their issue the learning curve? Isn't their issue more so the effort, right? The effort.
Now you got to have effort and learning curve.
I think that's why the pressure was on the coach, because the learning, like, we all know that their makings of Dame and Giannis and the surrounding cast, they should be able to go out there and hoop. But it was the effort, that the lack of effort that we're seeing. A lot of times we talk about defense. I'm like, you know, we saw some plays where Giannis was uncharacteristic defensively, you know, and that sort of put a question mark on what we're experiencing.
You know, Richard mentioned the David Blatt situation a year and a half in the job. When David Blatt was hired, LeBron James had not come back to Cleveland yet. He was hired for a very different team. It was a team built around Kyrie Irving. They loved his offensive expertise and building something offensively around Kyrie and the group they had. It changes when LeBron James comes back in free agency. Now, this is a little different in that, listen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the centerpiece of all of this, was in place. But it was a different team with Drew Holiday versus Damian Lillard.
Sure.
And certainly defensively, whether you looked at, it was Nick Nurse and Zach mentioned it. Those were the other two finalists, Nick Nurse, Kenny Atkinson. One was a championship coach. Kenny Atkinson had been a head coach in Boston, in Brooklyn, had some success and has been with Steve Kerr in Golden State for a few years. You know, three very different kinds of coaches. But I think that trade happens. And now they get this far into it. And again, you look at the standings and you say, they're right there. But it was, I think, feeling like, were they maximizing this group? I think, as Zach said, they've had the easiest schedule in the league. It's going to get a lot harder. You know, you saw them, you know, get run by the Pacers four times. The speed and athleticism of dominant guard play, the problem they were having with that at the defensive end. And now, you know, listen, I think if they were to look back at the summer and how they conducted the search, they might feel differently about hiring a first-time head coach. Mm. And now they're going to go out. And if it's Doc Rivers, certainly you have a coach who's had, you know, certainly won a championship in Boston, but, you know, had led a very successful Eastern Conference team over the last three seasons.
Absolutely. We're going to get back to this, our top story of the afternoon. Adrian Griffin once again has been fired by the Milwaukee Bucks, and now a search commences. And in the meantime, Joe Prunty is the interim head coach. Still to come on NBA Today, of course, we will get back to the Bucks. And Joel Embiid, he had a monster 70-point performance on the 18-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's 81. We get into that next.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is brought to you by the new series, A Real Bug's Life, premiering tomorrow, January 24th on Disney+.
I don't think it matters what we do. I'll give you some bullshit if you want.
You're right, Pop. I mean, it didn't matter. Embiid had a legendary 70-point performance against the Spurs. But hear why the reigning MVP, he's not too concerned about his performance. Plus, Karl Anthony Towns, he went off for a franchise record 62 points. But why did his performance have us doubting the number one ranked Timberwolves as a contender? And Kevin Durant, he thinks he should be part of the GOAT conversation. After another game winner, does he have a point? But last night, he was all of us.
70? Yeah, 70.
Shit. 18 years to the day after Kobe Bryant had his legendary 81-point performance, this kid, Joel Embiid, he said that Kobe was the reason why he started playing basketball. He paid homage to his idol with one of the greatest individual performances in NBA history. Here's how it went down. Sorry, Pop, you're going to have to relive it just one more time. Shanae Agumake, from start to finish, Joel Embiid was absolutely dominant.
Oh, yes. This is where he is just lethal. Top of the key where they cannot double him one-on-one. I mean, he has found the perfect balance to his game. He's truly a banger. Look at this. He'll just go through bodies. But what I also love is that he's got that nice, you know, mid-range too. But how do you stop that? He's number one amongst bigs in isolation scoring. He's ferocious at getting his rebounds. And he was going up against the Spurs. So, like, sorry. But, like, this is why I say perfect balance. Look at the ball handling.
Right.
The hesitation, pull up. He can shoot over everybody. But then at the same time, he can, you know, mix it up in the paint. They sent everybody at him. Double teams, triple teams, lost the ball, still hit it off the glass. This was a night to remember for Joel.
It didn't even matter. He had 24 points in the first quarter, the most in a first quarter by a Sixers player in the play-by-play era, Richard.
No, it was impressive. And like we saw, any time another player shot the ball not named Joel Embiid, the crowd booed. And I was loving it. Right? It wasn't even if they took good shots. But that right there, that mid-range, most bigs have the ability to roll and finish. Not many bigs have the ability to catch it there, go to work. That's a one-on-one situation that can't be guarded. This right here, again, that's big time. You got to send a double team. That's why.
Well, they did, Richard.
No, that's not a double team. A double team means you get him out of the
when
ball.
When you have 34 and 10 in the first half.
Where's the nearest defender?
Where? Look at that. There's, no, four. That's not there's a three of them right
no,
there, Richard.
That's not a real.
There's three of them right there, Richard.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. But who's he beat? That's Sohan right there.
Please
okay,
tell me.
Okay, now Wimby, when he goes to Wimby, he does a little bit more of that. And that's what makes him unstoppable. But make no mistake. When you see what Joel can do in a consistent situation, there is no guarding him. But you know, look, we're not going to talk about game plans. We're going to talk about how ridiculous what he did. I was live texting JJ Redick and Ryan Rucco. I was like, you're 38.
Yeah. Jay and I were live texting each other.
We have to call the Philly Denver game next. Sorry for working early. And so when I'm watching this, it was just like, oh, he's got 53. He's got 57.
He had
it was like every 30 seconds.
59 points through three quarters that ties a career high for him. We still had a fourth quarter to go. Embiid with 61 at this
is
point.
Is that Jeremy Sohan right there? Yep, Mitty.
But, okay, this has to be the most unguardable play in basketball right now.
Right there, that right there. If he knocks that down, there's no
seven-footer that can drive through you but also can play defense, that can handle the rock as we're seeing it right now and go right through you. You're saying double teams, triple teams. Who on the Spurs could have the strength to withhold him? Nobody. Nobody.
Joel Embiid, 70 points. Sixers win 133-123.
They did it the right way. When you got a guy going, you want to make sure you do it the right way.
Let's go by the numbers on Embiid's 70-point game, starting with him playing just 36 minutes and 38 seconds on Monday. That's the fewest time played in a 70-point game in NBA history. Embiid has proven he doesn't need much time, though, to score. He's averaging 38 points per 36 minutes this season. That's on pace to be the most points per minute by a qualified player in NBA history. That's just ahead of Wilt in 61-62. And then Embiid's 70-point game, it shifted the MVP odds by ESPN Bet. He's now even odds at plus 100 after entering the game at plus 200. That does put some distance between himself and Nikola Jokic. But how much does that mean to Joel Embiid, you may ask?
You know, it doesn't really mean anything until, you know, you win the whole thing. I think, you know, the whole conversation changes about, you know, what people see about you. So that's what I'm working towards. And, you know, whether that happens or not, you know, I'm going to try it until I can't anymore.
I mean, Zach, just an all-time performance from Joel Embiid. What was going through your mind as you watched him last night?
Almost nothing. He kind of broke my mind, actually, and I just sat there and enjoyed it like a grinning idiot. I mean, what are you going to say? The guy had 70 points. He's shooting 53% on long twos, and it feels like he's shooting 80%. He's basically Dirk Nowitzki from there at this point, and there's just nothing you can do other than reach in the cookie jar and foul him, and he gets to the line a million times a game. He's seen every defense this year. Nick Nurse is putting him in different kinds of positions. You just sit there in awe of what this guy is doing, which is quite simply producing what is on track to be maybe the greatest scoring season in the history of the sport when you consider his minutes played and the context. It's absolutely crazy what he's doing. He's averaging 36 points a game as a center. It's ridiculous.
Greatest scoring season in the history of the sport. But what's wild is when you listen to him, Zach, it doesn't seem like he cares that much about it. I know you're making a face, Richard, but to him, it's all about what the 76ers do in the postseason. Do you believe that with this excellent scoring season that he's having, that he can lead this team to the NBA Finals?
To him? To everyone in the basketball community, media included, we know how great Joel Embiid is. We know that he was number two in voting for MVP. We know that he won the MVP last year. We know that it's even odds for him to win it again. You make your legacy, and he's one of the legacy players. Very few players have legacy at risk. You make that in the postseason. I'm not saying that this doesn't matter. This is beautiful for the game of basketball. The entire league was watching what he was doing.
And then upping their game in real time.
Everybody was like, yo. So for me, I look at it as like, we know. He can win another MVP. And it's the same criticism that you've seen of other players. LeBron when he won the first couple MVPs. Giannis when he won. If you don't have playoff success, all of this, it doesn't matter, but it has a different level. When we watch Michael Jordan, who was the greatest, you know, a lot of people's minds of all time, it was because he was putting these epic defensive categories, like offensive categories. His team was winning 65 games and he was winning the championship and finals MVP. That is the level of greatness that we associate players like Joel Embiid with. So yes, if he goes out in the second round, which we're going to discuss later, if they go on the second round, then yeah, it feels like there's something that's missing. End of the day, this is one of the most epic nights in NBA history, and I'm glad I got to watch.
Yeah, if he scores 70 in the postseason and they win a championship, this team can, you know, do it. But the reality is that's not.
Giannis putting up 50.
But that's my point.
Giannis putting up 50.
The reality is that that's not how the playoffs go. The game slows down. It's going to be way more strategic. I don't think this iteration exactly is like the favorite to win a championship. But the way he's playing, he is a championship caliber player right now.
Right. And we have the 76ers at the top of the Eastern Conference. Really, you look at the Boston Celtics as their number one foe, particularly because Milwaukee really does have some things to figure out. And speaking of, coming up next on NBA Today, we revisit our top story of the day. Adrian Griffin, he is out as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. So what does that mean for Giannis Antetokounmpo, his future with the Milwaukee Bucks? We discuss coming up.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Within the last hour, the Milwaukee Bucks have fired head coach Adrian Griffin, according to our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, Griffin, he was hired last June, and 43 games in as head coach, he went 30-13 in that span. As we say hello to Kendrick Perkins. Perk, what's your reaction to this?
You know, Malika, I wanted to come on here and talk about what's up with Giannis and why Giannis, you know, running through these coaches over the last couple months, but I can't. The Milwaukee Bucks actually got this one right. And they did something that a lot of franchises are afraid to do, and that's stop the bleeding. They stopped the bleeding early. Look, when you're a team that have championship aspirations and your goal is to reach the championship, especially after they traded for Damian Lillard, right, you could see in body language if a team is ready and the head coach has the ears of his team. And looking at their body language, their defensive effort, and watching them play, their post-game comments, the writing was on the wall. And so you rather stop the bleeding now, and I get it. Everybody was fooled and blinded by the fact that they are 30-13 and they're number two in the Eastern Conference. But at the end of the day, they just wasn't a championship team with Adrian Griffin at the head of the seat.
So, Perk, Woj is also reporting that the Bucks are planning to move quickly to pursue a small group of accomplished and available veteran head coaches, with Doc Rivers being one of them. You have experience with Doc. How do you think he would fit there?
Dang, we didn't get that much time to work. I was hoping to call a game with Doc. But you know what? If it's any coach that they should go get, and I'm not being biased here, it should be Doc Rivers, because Doc Rivers didn't deserve to get fired from Philadelphia. When it comes to putting stars in the right position to be successful, Doc Rivers could do that. When it comes to gathering the troops to believe in what, to buy into what he's saying, Doc Rivers could do that. And I really don't see no other coach out there that could actually go in and fulfill this role right now other than Doc Rivers. You can't put an assistant in this role. Like, Joe Mazzulla is a unique situation, right? Adrian Griffin should have been with a team that's rebuilding, not a championship team. But if I had to make a choice, damn it, I'm calling Doc Rivers right now.
Well, Doc Rivers, he certainly has the experience, right? When you're looking at Dame and Giannis, he has coached CP and Blake. He has coached James Harden and Joel Embiid. Perk, thank you. Please do not go too far.
And he's coached me.
He's coached you. That name belonged in that conversation as well. Woj, what's the timeline here for replacing Adrian Griffin?
My expectation is that Milwaukee is going to move pretty quickly here. You know, again, Joe Prunty will be the interim for however long this takes. But I think part of the reason for making a decision this abruptly into the season is that they can give themselves a runway with a new coach. I'm told that Doc Rivers is at the very top of this list. Obviously, he's with us at ESPN right now. But you look among available head coaches who fit the description of what they want, accomplished veteran, certainly, won a championship, has been in the playoffs a lot in his coaching career. You know, three straight trips to the conference semis with that team in Philadelphia the last 3 years. You know, he fits it everywhere. And again, you know, somebody with Milwaukee roots, played his college basketball at Marquette from down the road in Chicago. So, you know, Joe Prunty has done this before, kind of bridging between a fired head coach and the next one. But my expectation is that the Bucks are going to move quickly with this process. This is a very small pool of potential candidates.
And this is such a unique situation because really the championship window for the Milwaukee Bucks, it is now. Zach, how do the Bucks move forward from here? How do they fix this?
Yeah, they're under a ton of pressure. I mean, that's just the reality of having Giannis and a team that now trends a little older. than it used to. The first thing they need to do is just get their defense in order. And we could talk about a number of different things, personnel to coaching, whatever. It's just been a discombobulated mess all season. They never get back on defense in transition. They're disorganized. They started the season playing a crazy, hyper-aggressive scheme before the players said, hey, we didn't do it that way under Mike Budenholzer, and we were really good. Let's dial it back. That stopped the bleeding a little bit, but they're 22nd in defense, having played the easiest schedule in the NBA. And if I'm looking at a coach, the first thing I'm doing is coming in, clarifying what it is we are about on defense. What are the rules? What are the rotations? How can we just stabilize around average? Because as messy as they've been, they're second in offense, and they're not that far off from first. Again, the schedule has been easy, but all the focus has got to be, we just got to get calm and stable on defense to give ourselves any kind of chance against a Boston or a Philadelphia in the playoffs. There is a lot of work to be done on that end of the floor.
You're so right, Zach. Perk talked about body language. You're talking about not getting back on defense. Those are like prerequisites for success at the professional level. And also, Richard, you know that like the hardest thing to teach a pro is to be committed defensively. You come into the league, you want to earn your stripes, you want to get buckets, and then defense is the thing that will set you apart as a unit. And looking at January, the Bucks have allowed almost 125 points per game in January. Mm. That is a record for amounts of points allowed in 11, you know, in their entire franchise over an 11-game stretch. So if you look at what they've done defensively, it's been really tough. But I think overall, this is kind of like a cold shower over Milwaukee,
right?
Like, it's a wake-up call because they have enough of the tools. I think we all know that Dame coming in, Drew Holiday leaving, we know defense was going to suffer. We didn't think this much. They still have someone that we talked about potentially being a defensive player of the year in Lopez last year.
Right.
They have Giannis, who is a defensive player of the year. Like, it should have been working, but those things like body language, not getting back on defense, allowing the most points in franchise history, those are not the things that will help you win, especially now. And I do like that they're doing it now because it gives them enough time to get information.
Yeah, I'm not sure you should be that surprised that there is this dramatic of a drop-off defensively from Drew Holiday to Damian Lillard. That shouldn't be surprising.
That's where I was going next. It's like, if you – players have to take some ownership in this too. It's not just the schemes. It's not this. There's a level of commitment. There's a level of focus. There's a level of following game plan. Look, Dame Lillard is going to play 40 minutes a night, 35 to 40 minutes a night for you. If you look at the history of his teams in Portland, they were in the bottom third defensively. That's part of the reason, one of the reasons why Terry Stotts, and that's another point. Let's not forget that Terry Stotts was on this staff and then left. So for me, when I look at it, you had a veteran head coach that had playoff success. And again, Adrian Griffin was hired before Dame got there. So this might have looked a little bit different if it was Dame and it was Giannis, and now we're going to go look for a head coach. So when I look at this, losing Terry Stotts, a veteran coach that can be like, hey, this is what you need to do here. That's why you have these high-level assistants on younger coaches or newer coaches' rosters, is to give them the stability. So you take him away, you're taking a lifeline for him to lean on and really depend on in tough situations, and he didn't have that.
It's rare that we see these moves come at this point in the year. But it doesn't feel like – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I still feel like the Milwaukee Bucks absolutely have time to figure all of this out. Do you?
Yeah, they definitely have time. And the sooner you do it, the sooner you do it. Like, again, I mentioned again my time with David Blatt and T. Lou. Where I will say it is different is that we had the head coach in waiting, and T. Lou had to prove himself in that moment.
And the difference, too, is they're not chasing – in the standings. They're at the top of the standings. The record in and of itself is not what got Adrian Griffin dismissed. It was how they were playing, how it felt, the strength of schedule that still awaited them. But they don't have to make up ground in the standings for seeding.
Right.
And that's helpful for this team, for whoever the next coach is, if it's Doc Rivers. And what'll be interesting too, though, when you come in this in the middle of a season, there are very few head coaches available that you would feel like give you a chance to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers is one of them for Milwaukee, but he's going to be inheriting somebody else's coaching staff, and guys who've worked for Doc Rivers know how to work for Doc Rivers. They're not available. One of his assistants, Brian Adams, just went to Detroit, started the season overseas. So if Doc Rivers comes in, potentially, you know, it's with a different coaching staff, That's impactful for a veteran head coach.
The Milwaukee Bucks still near the top of the standings in the Eastern Conference. Let's go to the top of the standings in the Western Conference, because Karl Anthony Towns, he had himself a night.
So did the Hornets.
Things got interesting. He did drop 62 points in this one. Let's start with the good. Let's start with the good for Karl Anthony Towns. This is early here in the first quarter. Gets it going from three.
Yeah, and he's been saying that he wants to be and is statistically in some ways the best shooting big in the NBA. I think he started out 8 for 9 from three, and then, you know, they started feeding the hot hand. Now the question is, how long do you keep feeding the hot hand?
Well, in the first quarter, it stayed the hot hand. 20 points in the first.
Threes, as he continues.
Well, how are you dropping and covering Karl Anthony?
Look at this.
You're recovering up to them?
Hey, but they still had a chance.
I understand that, but not based off of their defense. They had a chance because the Wolves let him back into the situation.
Well, then going ahead to the second quarter here, about 3 minutes left, the Timberwolves up. Towns hits another big one. Here's our Hornets play-by-play announcer.
This new record, 38. No!
He's on the wrong team.
Eric Collins is a national treasure.
That's what I see when you walk in the studio.
Richard. He couldn't believe it. Same. Next possession here in the third quarter. The Timberwolves up. Karl Anthony Towns, he drives, slams the ball. He had 50 points, and he just couldn't be stopped yet.
But, yeah, again, look at this lead. He was cooking. There is a good way to do this, and there is a wrong way to do this. You got to make a couple of passes, in my opinion, to keep the defense honest. And your teammates have to keep playing defense at a high, high level to sustain your ability to go after that ball. And they just lost their focus in the fourth quarter.
And this is the team, you know, at the record position, that is the best in the West. And at some point, the Hornets were like, hey, let him beat us because we're getting back in this thing.
Yep, the Hornets, here they come. They take the lead here up three with 2 minutes left to go. Just extending that lead at this point. Karl Anthony Towns, who had finished with 62 points, 10 of 15 for
three.
That
was a foul. That was a I don't know if the 2 minute report comes out.
Yeah.
But that is a foul. And unfortunately,
that was the call.
It should have been a call.
Not the verticality. It was before that.
Yeah.
Timberwolves, they go on to lose 128-125.
He kept his cool, though.
So after scoring 22 points in each of his first two quarters, he scored just 14 in the third and then just 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting in the fourth. That's after making 19 of 25 shots in the first three quarters. So here's what head coach Chris Finch had to say. He didn't hold back after the loss.
Right.
It was an absolute disgusting performance of defense and immature basketball. I mean, there's lots of times when just because you've scored 2 or 3 or 4 points in a row or baskets in a row doesn't, you know, obviously we're going to try to feed a hot hand, look for a hot hand, but at some point we got to get back to making the right play.
Did it turn into Karl trying to hunt like a big number?
And yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, but for a while, I mean, it was going. But, you know, down the stretch, we kind of dried up for us.
I'll tell you one thing, he ain't lying to y'all because he said the same thing to us. So what you're hearing about him in the post game is what we're hearing in the locker room. And just the words he picked today, and it's true. I think that at the end of the game, with everything going and everything, we just have to find a way to be mature.
So, Zach Lowe, you have had concerns about the Timberwolves' late game execution. How are you feeling after watching this?
This is so Wolvesy, it's almost painful. Only the Minnesota Timberwolves could have a homegrown star score 62 points and have another player on another team score 70 on the same night, and you lose the game, and the guy who scores 62 points gets benched late in the fourth quarter, and your coach goes off on you like that. Oh my God, this is the pressure of expectations. I can't wait to see how the Wolves respond to this, but yes, offensively, at gut check time, do you trust Anthony Edwards and Karl Towns' decision-making with the ball? No Mike Conley last night. That matters. we'll see how they respond. I'm not going to go crazy over one loss, but that was like a perfect storm of, if you are a little worried about the Wolves offense late in games, that's why. Only the Wolves. Very Wolvesy.
Yeah, that was a quintessential Wolvesian performance, it felt like. And this is why, you know, you feel like the Timberwolves, they've been dominant all season long, but sometimes the questions still come up about how successful they're going to be in the postseason. All right, we have a lot to get to on our jam-packed show. It's been 21 years since LeBron James played in the McDonald's High School All-American game. What future superstars will be in this year's class? The roster revealed.
A lot of them.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the East led by LeBron James, the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. And I think without being disrespectful, he's a man among boys. The MVP of this game and the best high school player in the country this year.
Years ago, LeBron James, he became one of 32 future number one overall draft picks to play in the McDonald's High School All-American game. 15 future overall picks in the W suited up in the McDonald's game as well. And today in our studio, oh, look at those flags. We have two former McDonald's All-Americans here to help us unveil the 2024 McDonald's High School All-American roster.
A lot of years in between, Richard and I.
Absolutely. You can have the flag.
I want that flag.
Let's get it going. We're going to start by revealing the girls' Eastern roster.
Okay, let's get it.
Let's take a look. Drum roll. Please, we have Michaela Blakes, Kendall Dudley, Joyce Edwards, Kaylee Heckel. I mean, just an incredible class here in the East.
Okay, now we're going to schools. I see UCLA, Elgin.
Let's go over to the West.
Sarah
Maybe Arizona is
go
represented
there.
There. Okay.
McKinley Randolph. She's
shout out Miara O'Neal, Shaquille O'Neal's daughter, on her way to be a Gator. I mean, Shanae, what can you tell us about her game?
Oh my gosh, this is great. Miara, like, I'm just so happy for her. You know what's crazy? We have something in common. We both trained with the same trainer back in Cypress, Texas, Lawrence Pay. Oh. And what he told me was that she's very skilled.
Yep.
She works very hard. I mean, are we surprised, right?
No.
It's in her blood, but I'm excited to see what she does.
No.
I believe she's gonna be a Gator.
It runs in the family. Yes, Shaquille O'Neal was, of course, the co-MVP of the 89.
Look at them shorts.
McDonald's.
Look at them shorts.
Game.
You walk outside in public and those right now, they're arresting. They're arresting for indecent exposure.
Well, wow. I know that Shaq stuffed the stat sheet. 18 points, 16 rebounds, 6 blocks. So let's take a look now at this year's
boys. We only need to focus on Carter Bryant.
West
Carter Bryant, shout out.
There you
Bear
go.
Down, my brother. Glad you're on here. Can't wait to see you in the league. Everybody else is not too late to commit
Dylan
to
Harper,
Arizona.
Ron Harper's kid, played with Shaq.
Yeah, but he didn't commit to Arizona. So,
congratulations.
We're going to focus on that.
Yay!
Higher
congratulations,
boys,
guys.
Roster.
It's an honor.
Let's also take a look at the Eastern squad here. Cooper Flagg, of course. Clearly the name here that jumps out, Richard.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg, he's that dude. Unfortunately, he's going to a terrible university. So, you know, I wish him the best there. I don't know. Arizona just beat Duke, so it's not too late for you to recommit. You know, the transfer port. I don't even know how that stuff works in basketball. But, yeah, come on down to Arizona. Tucson's a beautiful place this time.
I mean, we're supposed to be talking about him and how great he is as a player.
For my university.
Violation.
Cooper Flagg has
not working. He's a bad man.
Absolutely dominant. I mean, clearly look at those dunks that he has.
Yes.
This is Jonathan Givony's early 2025 mock draft where you can see Givony has Cooper Flagg at the top of this list. Three of these players are going to be McDonald's All-Americans. Of course, Richard, this is my favorite time of year because I get to ask you, should these guys be in the dunk contest?
Oh, 100%. And listen, I scored 2 points in McDonald's All-American game, but this was my best highlight right here of the whole weekend. That was my best highlight. It's my favorite highlight. You know why? Because I had hair, right?
I can see it.
Is it there?
I can see the shades.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Look at the lineup.
Congratulations to all of the McDonald's All
Americans. The stress of Arizona is what made it go, huh?
No, that made it go.
Still to come on NBA Today. Adrian Griffin is out as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. So what comes next as the Bucks try to pursue another title with Giannis Antetokounmpo?
That hairline was crispy.
Barely.
It has been a wild 24 hours in the NBA, so let's start in Philly. On the anniversary of Kobe's 81-point game, Joel Embiid, he put up a franchise record 70 points, Richard, against the San Antonio Spurs.
It felt like it could have been more. I swear to you, I texted the group and I said, Joel might score 80 tonight. It slowed down a little bit, but this man was so impressive. It was everything that this player has been working on for a decade was shown in his package last night.
Well, this is what we were texting about in the group. In
Thank
Phoenix,
you, our group
the
chat.
The Suns won a nail biter against the Bulls. Kevin Durant hit this crazy game winner. It's just so difficult. KD joined Michael Jordan and LeBron James as the only players with consecutive 40-point games at age 35 or older. The game winner's coming, I promise, Janae.
Yeah, the second half, he was cooking. And a lot of people were like, oh, my gosh, look at this
right
shot
there.
Right here.
That's impressive.
Double clutch to knock down the game winner. But he hit like three of those last night.
He's different.
Insanely difficult. And then, of course, the news just an hour ago that Adrian Griffin is out as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks after coaching 43 games. He had a 30-13 record over that stretch. And now a coaching search, it will commence. Joe Brunty, according to our Adrian Wojnarowski, is the interim head coach. But the expectation is that the Bucks are looking at a small pool of experienced and available head coaches as we say hello again to Kendrick Perkins. Perk, we know that the Milwaukee Bucks, they are number two in the Eastern Conference right now, and yet we've had a lot of concerns about them as the year has gone on. So do you think that moving on to a new head coach was the move that will make the Bucks a title contender once again this season?
No, hell no. They need to make some changes to their personnel, right? Like, hiring a new coach is not going to make Damian Lillard a better on-the-ball defender or be able to get over screens. Hiring a new coach is not going to make Malik Beasley an elite wing defender. They need the personnel. Like, they need to go out and try to find some type of athleticism at the wing position, some type of high-motor guy that's going to just do his role, don't care about shooting shots. Hell, to be honest with you, I know he's a little old, but I would think about trying to bring P.J. Tucker back. Hell, he's not doing nothing with the Los Angeles Clippers right now. I don't know how that could work out, but he did win the championship with them. But they need some tenacity, right? Like, Giannis could only take them so far with the thunderous dunks and the yelling. But at the end of the day, you got to have some type of dog and killer at the wing position. And they don't have that defense.
I'm just so proud in this moment that Perk actually said something that was respectable that I didn't even think about. And I was like, wow. You know what? I am proud that all the hours we spend talking on the phone in the studio, I'm just so proud that you are absorbing that information in a positive way because he's true. You got to have wing defenders. We know who Dame Lillard is defensively. But Dame was also brought in to handle things late in game. That's who he is. He's a late game finisher. The first 3.5 quarters, you got to find somebody to guard some people because that's what we have seen.
Yes, it's 50-50. It's a coaching move that we just saw, and now it's the personnel move, and then they'll really be content.
P.J. Tucker's a great coach. And I think Terry Rozier in Miami is going to be a problem. Shout out,
Deal.
Come on, Terry T.
We will continue to bring you coverage. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow.